we doing, guys? Am I really loud? Sure? Okay. I sound really loud. Cool. Yeah, it was an interesting week, huh? Yeah, a lot of things going on, different things. Yeah. I gave Julie my sermon title for the week, and I don't know if you guys looked at the bullet or not. Who are you? She immediately starts, who are you? I'm like, no, that's not it. But anyway, yeah, close enough. Who are you in God's eyes? And it's kind of a, I don't know. I think this is a maybe a little bit of an eye-opener. Maybe, hopefully, it is. I think something we need to hear once in a while, because to see what God really thinks of you. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to ask Him to show up this morning and use my mouth and my words to praise Him and give Him all glory. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Sometimes we don't have words. We don't know what's best to say. We just don't know, Father, but You do. And now, Father, I just ask You to inhabit our service this morning, Father. Just be with me. Lead and guide me, Father, to say the right words and how to say them. And just apply them to us. We can apply these to our lives to make us understand that You are God. That You love us. We just praise You. We thank You, Father. We just thank You for being here this morning. We're just going to look to You for this whole thing, this whole service. We just want You to be involved in it. I want You to be leading it. I want You to guide us. Father, we just ask in Your precious name. We pray. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. An interesting week. A lot going on. A lot of things happening. Who are you? Who are you in God's eyes? You ever wonder about that? You ever go outside in the morning, early, or maybe late at night, look up and look at the stars? You ever do that? They say there's 100 to 200 billion of those. They can't even count them or so many. Okay. And then to realize that outside of our solar system is another 100 to 200 billion galaxies. The number is, there's so many zeros you can't write them. And I'm thinking, when God just said, let there be light, and this thing just, it was out there. And the size of it is, it's immense. You have no idea. And that same God who did that loves you. I said to you before, He loves you. Do you believe it? We're going to start in Judges. We're going to go to Judges chapter 6. We're going to start there first. Alan, sorry. I'll mix this up just a little bit. I'm kind of curious. I was reading this and looking at this and kind of looking at some things. And I think this, maybe, hopefully, this will tie some things together for you, hopefully. So, we're looking at, who does God think you are? In Judges chapter 6, it's an interesting story about a guy named Gideon. You guys ever hear the story about Gideon? Sword of the Lord and Gideon, right? Gideon was a pretty impressive guy, right? He had 32,000 people. He had these troops, and God says, hey, I want you to go do something. And he said, you got too many of them, and he chinks them down, 22,000 of them, go home. He's got 10,000 left. He said, I want you to take them down to the water, and they're going to drink water like a dog. You ever see anybody drink water like a dog? A human being? You just ask him. You ever see anybody drink water? I never seen anybody. Barb says she has. Okay. So, kids. So he knocks him down to what, 300, right? And there's, I don't know, probably 150,000 that are going to go against 150,000 troops. They're going to go against with 300 people. The odds ain't much in your favor, are they? Huh? No. We all know the story of what happens. Gideon and his 300 men, right, his 150,000, they kill themselves, you know. Interestingly enough, though, I want you to start in chapter 6. That's kind of a spoiler alert. In chapter 6, this all starts. And it's the Israelites had done evil. God turns them over into the hand of the Midianites. And because they did evil, so every year, the Midianites, they would come up and they would destroy all the Israelites' crops, take them for themselves. And they said, and it says there in verse 5, chapter 6, it says, they were like locusts for multitude. both they and their camels could not be counted. So they wasted the land as they entered it. So basically, think about this. You got your corn, you got your garden out there, you got your tomatoes getting ripe. Tasting pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Got your corn coming up, looking good, you got all your stuff. And somebody comes and just takes it all and eats it. What do you do for food? You don't have any. That was the predicament the Israelites were in. Okay. So, God sends a prophet to him and says, I told you guys not to be afraid of this guy, but you didn't listen to him. You didn't listen. So in verse 11, Judges chapter 6, verse 11, says, Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree, Terebinth, at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon was beating wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, get this in your mind. The threshing floor was always up high, so you got a nice breeze, because you threw the grain in the air, and what happens? Chaff all gets blown away, right? So you always had it up high, so you had nice air moving. Gideon is down in the valley, hiding in a wine press, so they can't see him. He's doing his threshing down there in a valley, probably dark, down there, away from out of sight, hiding. He's hiding, okay? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, check this out. The guy's hiding from the Midianites down the wine press because he doesn't want to be caught threshing his wheat because they'll take it from him. He's hiding. He's scared. He's afraid. He's afraid somebody's going to take his stuff. And what does this angel of the Lord say to him? You old mighty man of valor, you. You know when God looks at you, he says, You mighty woman of valor, you. Huh? Do you believe that? No. None of us do. Because we think, really, God? Really? Gideon says to him, okay, if the Lord is with us, why has all this stuff befallen us? He says, you know, where are all the wondrous works of which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us in the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him, verse 14, and said, Go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? This is a weak, fearful, scared, hiding in the dark guy. Ever been there? Yeah. God says, You old mighty man of valor, why don't you just go in your might? Because haven't I told you to? Huh? Haven't I told you to? And like, God's never told me to do much. Let's read on here. Gideon says, boy, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. He says, Listen, God, my family is the poorest family, and I'm the runt of the litter. That's what he's saying. I'm the runt of the litter. Huh? And the Lord says to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Now, can you believe that God would say that to you? I'm just curious. Think God would ever say that to you? I don't think any of us believe that. I really don't think we do. I think when, if God, you ever look at yourself in the mirror? I have to get my hair in line. I look in the mirror, you know what I mean? I think, look at that guy. Huh? And I read this and it says, You mighty man of valor, you. Go in my might. Wow. And I think, I don't know. Huh? And he says, I'm going to be with you. My power is with you. I'm God. I spoke that billion, trillion, gazillion stars in the world. I just said, you know what? And I've placed my Holy Spirit inside you. When you accepted my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. That unlimited, boundless power is inside you. Do you believe it? No. Ain't sounding like it, is it? No. So I'm thinking, wow, we know what Gideon did. I mean, with 300 men, he routed 150,000. That's pretty much out there, isn't it? That's pretty impressive, I think, right? He went in the power of the Lord. And I thought, well, how do you tie that in? How do you tie us in to Gideon by God saying, you know what? You mighty man of valor. You mighty woman of valor. You with the might and power of the Holy Spirit and God in you. You just go on and do your thing. So I ended up in Romans chapter 5. Let's go there. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5. This is a tough... because I can tell you guys don't believe it any more than I did. God says to you, when you look in the mirror, it's kind of hard to deceive yourself, isn't it? Isn't it? It's hard to deceive yourself, right? You look in the mirror and you see who you are, and you know all the stuff you've done. You know all the things you've said. You know all your stuff that you've messed up in your life, right? When you look in the mirror, you think, I wish we could see what God sees in you. That's what I wish. So I want to show you, I want to tell you something. This is interesting to me. I was listening to this week and I thought, you know, God is a just God. He's holy. He's righteous. He cannot look on sin. You know that? We don't have a concept of that, right? Because you turn on your TV and there's garbage on there. You turn on your radio, there's garbage on there. You go out around people, there's garbage out there. It's just junk. God can't stand it. He can't be around. He's God. He's holy. He's righteous. He is a just God. Because of that, you and I are required to pay a penalty for our sin. You know that? We are required. God cannot look on you and me. He cannot pour His grace upon you, His mercy, His loving kindness. All that He is, He cannot put that on you because He can't look at you because you are a dirty, filthy sinner. Pretty depressing, isn't it? So God, in His loving kindness, in His steadfast justice and righteousness and who He is, do you know what? I can't punish them. I'm going to punish myself. What? I can't punish them, so I'm going to punish myself. I'm going to send my son to earth to take every sin that they will ever commit, every bad word they ever said, everything they ever did, all that garbage that I can't stand to look at. I'm going to send my son. He's going to hang on that cross. I'm going to place every bit of that sin on him. I'm going to just bury him with it. I'm going to crush him with it. I'm going to break him. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to put my anger on him. Whoa. Whoa. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took that for you and I. He took that. And He died. Put him in a grave. Then he rose again. Because he's our God. And he rose again. So, when God the Father looks at you, and he looks at me, he doesn't see that reflection that I see in the mirror. He sees his son in your place. Isn't that cool? So when he sees his son in my place, then he can pour out his grace. He can pour out his mercy. He can pour out his love, his kindness, his steadfast love on me and you. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Isn't that exciting to you? Doesn't that make you think, man, when I look in the mirror and I see that old guy in there? That's why I never clean the mirrors at home, because I don't really want to see a really good reflection. You know what I'm saying? When God sees you, He sees His Son. And He says, man, I love Him. I love that guy. I love you so much. So Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple of things here. I hope this comes out the way I... let's see what it is here. Okay. In Romans chapter 5, it says, verse 1, therefore, since we are justified... Paul changes some stuff up here. He's writing about salvation. Changes it from salvation to the benefits, to the joys, to the actual good stuff. It says, Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One. So we're justified through Christ, and we can hold on to that joy because of the joy that Christ, because He died on the cross, we can hold on to that joy. Keep going here. Listen to this. Through Him also, we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into His grace. And what's grace? The state of God's favor. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Nice and easy to remember, right? So because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, we are afforded, it says an access. You ever been introduced to anybody really important? President of the United States? Anybody here? Ever been introduced to anybody really important? I mean, somebody really important. Me neither. So, if you were to be able to be introduced to someone really important, I mean, say, hey, how you doing? I'm Matt. How you doing? And they go, you know what? I want you to come live in my house. Come on. That's what we have through Jesus Christ. We get the introduction. We don't even get an introduction. We get free access to the household of God. Isn't that something? You're part of His family now. You are God's family. You understand that? And God says, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Isn't that something? You're in God's family. And so it says here, look at this. In which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Isn't that something? You know what? The God of the universe, and there's no words that I can come up with. I've thought about the analogy of the stars. I mean, that's pretty impressive to me. You guys ever speak and anything happen? Does your dog listen to you every time you talk to him? Do your kids listen to you every time you talk to them? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're thinking, man, I tried to tell somebody something, and they don't listen. And God said, you know what? Let there be light. And trillions and zillions of them start. And you know the size of them things is just, there's no thought process, how big they are. They even say some of the stars, you see the light, have already burned out. They're so far away that you're just seeing the light now. It's like, how big is that? That same big God, that unlimited, powerful God, that same God loves you. And He just brought you into His household. He says, I want you to come live with me. I want you to be mine. Because you accepted my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, I want you to be mine. Isn't that cool? Isn't that exciting? It is exciting. Let's go on. It gets better. Moreover, verse 3, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our... No, wait a minute, Matt. You just said I'm in the household of God. And He's saying, now it's time to be joyful in our troubles and trials. How do I do that? Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. You know, when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells inside you, it's not going to be an easy life. Contrary to popular belief, you're going to have things come against you that you just never had before. And you're going to think, why? God says, you know what? Why don't you just rejoice in these troubles and trials you're having, because I'm trying to make you better. I'm trying to give you a little patience. No, why, God, why? That's why I try to give you more patience, because you're just a little bit antsy right now. You need more patience. So then you need a little more, and once you start getting a little patience, then I'm going to get a little more endurance. I want you to be patient a little bit longer. I want you to pray about something, and I want you to keep praying about that for 20 years, and I want you to just get some endurance. I want you to build some stamina. I want you to get some patience. You stand in front of the microwave saying, come on! It's a microwave. It takes 10 seconds to heat something up? And you're in a hurry? Really? you have a lack of patience if you're having that problem. I'm just going to throw that out to you right now, okay? Okay, anyway. So God gives us these trials and these afflictions in our life to build our patience. So when somebody cuts me off when I'm driving, I'm like, I got a big truck. I can knock you right off the road and never even deal it. Don't mess with me. I'm saying, is that patience? Huh? What is that? I'm gonna get you back. And you know what's neat about that is God says, "Okay, Demi, I have to confess that a sin, because it was a sin. That person could have been a church member at Open Arms Christian Church. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know who it was. So we're looking for patience and endurance. And then what's he say? And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character. Do you know any characters? Yeah. This character is a building of character. God says, I want you to be more like me. I want you to be, when somebody spits in your face, that you can take it. Wow. I want you to be, someone beats you with a club, you can take it. I want you to be like me, so when they put a crown of thorns on your head and the blood runs down, you can take it. And I want you to be more like me, so when they put you on a cross, crucify you, you can take it. Wow. Because God loves you so much. People you don't like, I'm probably the only one here that has that problem. I have people that I don't really hate them per se. I just don't like them much. You know what I mean? You know, I don't want to wish that they get hit by a car or anything. I mean, you know, I wouldn't go there. But well, maybe, I mean, just saying. You know, I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? You wouldn't want that. But God loves that person the same as you love me. Because you know, when I was unsaved and I was a sinner, He still loved me. That's something. Now think about that. Let's keep going here. We're getting bogged down. So the endurance develops maturity of character. And this maturity of character, I like to amplify, it says approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Wow. You mean to tell me that all this stuff that I deal with in life is going to come to an end someday? Yep. You mean to tell me that all the troubles and trials that I suffer through daily are going to come to an end? Yep. You mean to tell me that because I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I've got a home waiting somewhere? Amen. You better believe it. You mean to tell me that the God who's introduced to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm in His household, that one day I'm going to be in that household. Isn't that awesome? That's the hope of our salvation, guys. We got a place we're going to go. This old world is not the end for us. This is just a proving ground. This is just a training ground. This is just a place where God's trying to build your character, your patience, your endurance. Wow. Verse 5, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You understand, I don't think we understand sometimes. Jenny talked about grace. God's well of grace is immense. There's no end to it. The same as His power. But He's not going to give you any more grace than you can use for the day. Because we would just waste it. He gives us grace for the day, for the trials we're facing, the things we're going through, daily. He gives us grace. And you mean, what I'm trying to tell you is here, when I'm in the middle of my trial, He gives me grace. So I can pass that grace on to someone else. Even though I may not like that person. I got a guy right now I say hi to every day, and he goes, what's that mean? What, you Himalayan? Well, I mean, what's that mean? Huh? You know what I mean? It's like purposely just avoids me like a plague. It's kind of funny. I think, what an idiot. You know what I'm saying? I think, whatever. But you see what I'm saying? He has no clue who I am. None whatsoever. And how you doing? Really? A baby gives you more of a welcome than that. You know what I mean? So you look at people like that and you think, boy, you know, it'd be a shame if he just tripped and fell. That'd be bad. There's a big set of steps. It'd be bad if he... I wouldn't laugh, right? I'm sorry. You okay? You know, I wouldn't do that, right? No. Well, maybe. Okay, so when you start looking at it that way, when I was a dirty, filthy sinner, God looked at me and loved me. And he said hi to me every day. When I looked at the stars, I've always been a... When I was growing up, we had a three-bedroom home. I have six brothers. So you could do the math. There's not enough bedrooms for everybody. So in the summertime, I slept out in the barn with the animals. Pretty cool, huh? That's what it is. That's why I am the way I am today. I had sleeping bags, and we'd sleep out on the barn bank around the corner from the pole light. And you could lay there, and it was, the more you look, the more stars you see, the more stars you see. And you know, I don't think I ever slept any better. I don't think I ever did. So when you start looking at that, you start seeing how awesome God is, it still boggles my mind why he even loved me. And even at that point, when I looked at them stars, I knew there was something. I didn't know God. I didn't know him. Didn't have a personal relationship with him. But I knew there was something. You know what I mean? That didn't just happen. It couldn't just happen. It wouldn't just happen. It's like throwing a bunch of parts down on the floor and they all come together and make a clock. And it works. What's the chances of that? There aren't any. It's the same with the world, how this all came to be. And even when I was that guy, unlovable, and I was unlovable, God loved me. That's something. So when you think you're unlovable, God still loves you. Let's keep going. Verse 6 brings it right in. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, that was me. That was you. We were ungodly at one time. We were against God. We were God haters. We were being controlled by Satan because we didn't have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. We were that people. And God, it's almost like he was saying, dude, I know you're messing up, and I know you're against me, but I'm going to die for you anyway because I love you. The world has never seen that kind of love. The world has never seen that kind of love. That's the kind of love that God has for you. Loving kindness is an interesting Hebrew Greek word. It's called hesed. It's steadfast, never changing, never ending, always pursuing, always controlling, looking to find you. Wow. So God in his infiniteness, of his huge that he is, he loves you so much, he is chasing you down to become his child. Verse 7 says, now it's an extraordinary thing for one to give his life even for an upright man. Even perhaps for a noble and lovable, maybe a generous benefactor, someone might even die. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while I was still a sinner, while you were still a sinner, out doing your sinning things, totally against God, not thinking the first thing about him or what he wanted to be in your life, he still died for you. Still died for you. Let me ask you a question. You ever hear the statement, if you were the only person in the world, Christ would have came and died for you? You ever hear that? You're that important to him? Do you understand that if that was the case, you would have had to drove the nails? Wow. Wow. You mean if I was the only one, Christ would have came and died for me? I'd have to go to them. Kind of humbling, isn't it? When you think of it that way. Verse 9, therefore, since we are now justified. The Amplified says acquitted, made righteous, brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood. How much more certain is it that we should be saved by Him from indignation and wrath of God? Because God poured out His complete and total wrath upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on that cross. Every sin you'd ever commit. Can you imagine what that would have been like? The weight of that? Wow. He took it. Verse 10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. It is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved daily, delivered from sin's dominion through His resurrection life. You know, it's awesome what Christ did and died on that cross for each one of us. But you know, He rose from the dead, guys. He is alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father right now, interceding for you. Knowing just exactly how you feel, knowing just exactly your feelings, knowing how you hurt, knowing all of that. And when God says, why did that guy act like that? I know how that feels. We have an intercessor, we have a high priest who intercedes for you and I at the cross. Now, verse 11. Not only so, but we also rejoice and exultingly glory in God in His love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received and enjoy our reconciliation. Big word. We have been reconciled to God by the power of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand when God looks at you, He doesn't see what you see in the mirror. When God looks at you, He sees a precious child. He sees His precious daughter. He sees His precious son. He sees what He thinks you know. God sees what He wants you to be. Isn't that awesome? He doesn't see all the failures, mistakes, and all the junk. He sees what He wants you to be. You going to let Him be that in your life? Do you understand that God thinks more of you than you do yourself? We're our own worst critic. We are our own worst critic. I'm probably right to the head of the line. I'm the worst critic. But I have to understand that God loves me so much. He paid the price. I got 5 pages of notes I never looked at. You know, is that? Which is good, because that means He was doing what He was supposed to do. If you don't take anything else from this message, if you don't take anything else, understand that God sees you as His child. He sees you exactly the way He wants you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We praise You, Father. We thank You for being our Lord, for being our Savior, for being our God, for loving us enough when we were sinners, when we were depraved sinners. You came when You loved us enough. Die in our place. Take all that wrath, all that shame upon Yourself. That we accrue in our lives, we could just be free access to the house of God. Father, I thank You. I praise You. I love You this morning. We hope we can impress that upon people's minds this morning, that they would understand that You love them so much. Father, we just humbly ask it in Your precious name. Amen. As the praise team comes forward, got a song we're going to sing for you. I'll be down here this morning. Do you have anything you need prayer for? You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need prayer for and Savior. Do you have anything you need prayer for? Prayer for you this morning. I'll sing a song this morning. My waking wonder what the future will hold.
Mm-hmm.